So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your presence, the fact of the pillar of fire leading us into the millennium, that we have not been forsaken just because the prophet is gone. But Lord, we've been left with your word, which actually we understand that you are that word, because we have no delineation, we have no parameters, we have no description. We have not seen you with our eye, nor we have heard you with our ear, though many claim those privileges, which we know are not given except to very, very few. But we do have your word that is living amongst us, and that word is breathed by you. That word is actually your conduit. It's enlivened by you, and we appreciate that. So, Lord, as we go to the word this morning, may it unfold before us so we know the hour in which you live, and those besetting sins of this time, those dangers which lie therein, but also the way of escape as we look upward. Help us on our studies. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're here on number 24 of the Seed of Discrepancy, which Brother Branham preached. Now, just to place the historical setting of this message, we recall it was preached in a full gospel businessmen's meeting in Phoenix, Arizona in 1965, where were gathered the preeminent and admired and sought after Laodicean elders, who were the Omega of Alfred, Acts 20, 25 to 30. Now, we're going to go into a lot of scripture again this morning, because it behooves us to do so, that we may be absolutely fully assured of where we stand as we stand with the, particularly the New Testament, although there's much in the Old also. So it says here, "And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take it to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all." The word "men" is interjected there, actually of all people. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Now you'll notice that the blood can only apply where there is the gospel. And you can only be free from the blood of men, of all people, by the use of that gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, and there is nothing outside of it. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, get purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise." See, they were there already, but they hadn't manifested because they couldn't face Paul. There's no way that they could stand up against him, because if he had to bring his vindication to play the same as Moses, then that is exactly what would have happened. "For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men rise, speaking perverse things," that's the seed of discrepancy, "to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with us. I have showed you all these things, how so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all." Now, now that we've read these verses, we must especially note and emphasize verses 32 to 35, which was Alpha back there, and is now the Omega of Revelation 3:14 to 19. So you just look at those verses. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Now that word "and" in there can be translated, interpreted as a preposition which means "even." And that's exactly what he is talking about, is this gospel which he received from God by vindication, and no one can dispute it, even to the extent of an angel appearing and changing it. See, there's where the Mormons got led astray. What folly to say they believe the Bible, that they follow the New Testament, and then they run in with a hack prophet, so-called, a false prophet in sheep clothing, to lead them astray. And that's exactly what you see today, not just amongst them, but among many, many people. So he says here, I commend you to God, even to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. If you talk about God building you up, there's no such thing as you being built up outside of the word. You just can't do it. Brother Branham said, pile word upon word until you come to the sealing in of Almighty God himself. And only then can men move as the images of God. So he said, even to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, those which are set apart. Now watch. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them which were with me. I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now let's go to Revelation, which is the Omega. See how this turns out. It turns out to be a complete fiasco with full gospel Christian businessmen tooting their own horns and championing the cause of mammon, the unrighteous, instead of the word of God, and everybody just working and everybody helping each other rather than holding out the hand for help. Mr. Kennedy put it right as president when he said, we ought not to ask what can this nation do for us, but what can we do for the nation? Then he turned right around, and like the liberal Democrats always do, and they take away from the middle class to satisfy the wants of those, or not even the wants, but the ego and what have you, of those people in government, as they pretend to bestow largesse upon them, when they wouldn't take their own money out. Now, if they were sincere men like Kennedy's supposed to be, with his multiplied millions, he should give his millions. But he finds it more blessed to take. And so do these full gossip businessmen. So we look at the picture here. And unto the messenger, which is in the church of the Laodiceans, right, these things set the amen. Now, this is the wind-up. The finisher, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would you were cold or hot. Now, cold or hot, according to what we're looking at here, has to do evidently with the materiality of this world. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Now, these people will tell you that. And they'll tell you that God prospered them. I remember one man standing up in one of their meetings, and he said, I'm probably the richest man amongst you. I'm worth $4 million. There's nothing to being a millionaire. I agree with my friend Harold Marconda that anybody could be a millionaire. That's right. People think it's impossible. Not in this age. You play your cards right, you'll be a millionaire. They stand there to entice the people on to the mammon of this world instead of the mammon, the riches of God. See, now this is there. He said, now, you're lukewarm. Why are they lukewarm? Because they're making a pretense that God gave it to them. Well, in the long run, I suppose God did give it to them. But why do they entice others toward the riches of this world instead of the word? Now, Paul said every man should labor with his own hands. Everybody should get out there slugging it out. And if you have a lot of money, the old American tradition was, amongst the financiers and those that had an amplitude of all things, they knew that their wealth was granted by God in order to create jobs for people, not heap it up to themselves. Now, this is what's wrong with your system today. You have companies that were built by the money of many, many people. And the CEOs that are running it
Never put a nickel in it. So here they are scooping all the cream off. How can one man be justified in getting an $8 million yearly pension? AT&T will throw 40,000 people out of work. A few years ago, the wealth of America was concentrated 50-50 in the middle class and those under it, and a few rich people had 50%. Today, they have 70%. The 10% have 70% of the total wealth of America. And these people are touting riches. Lukewarm puke is all they are in the eyes of God. And I say my eyes see the same thing. What a travesty. When you consider what was in our day. You say, I'm rich in Christian goods and have need of nothing and knowest not. Wretched, miserable, blind and naked. To what? Not to money, but to the riches of God. See? All the time claiming we give and we're doing this and that. If it isn't God in you willing and doing, you're a debtor to Him. And you're lying in His holy name. This age today is made up of such corruption as to boggle the mind. All you have to do is pick up one newspaper and read it. And you'll see exactly what's going on. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now what is tried in the fire? Your faith is tried in the fire. Your revelation is tried in the fire. People talk about the act of faith and the act as though I do not believe in an act of faith because I teach a passive. If your act of faith is not one with the passive, which is the true revelation of God, forget it, you will burn what you're trying to produce. Because you're merely in debt. If God is not exercising His will within you according to His word, everything you do will come against you in that day. And you won't be tried and saved as by fire. You will go to the fire. Because this age goes to the fire. Remember Malachi 4. And don't try to kid yourself it is otherwise. Leaving neither root nor branch. And the root in this hour, the intrinsicality of man's soul, goes toward filthy mammon. Thou mayest be rich. White raiment you may be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eye with eye salve. That sounds as though they got it. It really reads, come to me for the eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Also note that Acts 20, 28 to 30. We read that, didn't we? All right. Also know that, you know, Acts 28 to 30. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock, of which the Holy Ghost had made your overseers to feed the church of God, which you have purchased with own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock, is the root of 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, which he read many, many, many times. For I'm jealous over you, that godly jealousy have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled thee through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, if the mind is corrupted, it goes by the spirit that you have been allowed of God to give you life in your body, goes down into your soul, and if what is in your brain, your mind, is a pollution, your soul will be polluted. There's no two ways about it. That's what our Bible teaches us. As your mind should be corrupt in some simplicity, that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. In other words, if Paul was not the original and the only true bringer of the truth from God, and vindicated thereby, and thereof from God himself. You could look at these other things. You wouldn't just be enticed. You'd be duty bound. Because you have to find out what is real and what is not real. But Paul lets you know that he is perfectly vindicated. So there is not another Jesus than what he preaches. There is not another Holy Spirit and his attributes and what he does. There is not another word. And to take one word or add one word defiles thereof. Now notice with verses 13 and 15, which follows those verses and explains it all. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now he said they'd rise up right from the midst of the church itself. See, not the true church, but across the board. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed or transmuted into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now what are their works? Their works are completely fallacious and shall be burnt up. And they, of course, will be destroyed with them. The omega of this is prophesied in a message of prophecy, because Peter was not a prophet. He prophesied. By Peter in Acts, the second chapter, verses 15 to 21. Now notice the omega here, because this is very, very important that you see the chronology, or you're just going to get bogged out. You're not going to get the truth. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. That's 9 in the morning. And this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, said God. Now, Brother Branham said the three last days. That's true. Then, all right, at the last of the last days, this is what happens. You watch. And I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And believe me, they're getting it. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So you see, you can see gifts in both groups, and watch now the chronology. And I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor smoke. The sun be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. It'll come to pass, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you notice that's right up to the great tribulation under the sixth seal. So that is the omega of the alpha, which we were looking at previously. Now, this omega then, the omega of this is prophesied in the message of prophecy. It was a prophecy given on the day of Pentecost by Peter in Acts 2:15-21. And this is based also on a previous alpha of Matthew 7:15-23. Now you're all acquainted with that. Beware of false prophets which shall come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. See, they're out there to get you. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Now that's the same thing as fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge his floor and burn up the chaff. There's not a lot of separate burnings here. Every time you get the word burning, you can place it just at one place. You can place it at the end of the hour in which we live in the great tribulation, and you can also look at the lake of fire. But this is not necessarily the lake of fire. Because remember, the proliferation and the actual omega of the alpha is being spoken of here. Wherefore, by your fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now what is the will? It's the revealed word of Almighty God. There isn't any other. And all of that will line up with Jesus, who said, which of you convinceth me of sin, which Brother Branham interpreted to us to mean, which of you can find one scripture I have not fulfilled. And he's pointing right to William Branham, the Elijah of this hour. You see? Which of you can put me on the spot also, it means. Which of you convinces me of sin also means find one word that is out of place. Can't add or can't take. Why? Because it's thoroughly vindicated. And Jesus was the great vindicator and the great manifester of the entirety of God in human flesh at that time. Yet he was under the sovereignty of God because he never spoke of himself and he never did anything of himself. So Jesus wasn't God. Son of God. That he should take upon him flesh is a mystery. Leave it right where it is. Can you trace your mystery back when you clapped your hands and sang with the morning stars the sons of God? You haven't read a recollection, and you may never have. So put it down and leave it there. Become a believer. Become a joyful believer. If that is indeed said of you, which it certainly is said of you and me. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now you're going right to the place from the burning at the end of the tribulation to a lake of fire where the white throne judgment is set for the last time, which we are before now. And we have to be, because there will be witnesses against them at that particular time. Have we not prophesied, in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. In other words, they are doing this apart from the word. Now, to understand truly what we are looking at here, this, what Jesus said, was later prophesied, as we saw in the book of Acts chapter 2. In this same time period, we see a more detailed Omega account that has been and is being fulfilled today and in this hour, which is 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, 1 to 17. And we'll bring this other together in a second, what I was looking at. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. And Brother Branham said, that is the message, and it's a message that gathers. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, it tells you right there, there's nothing that can be produced in any age, or in this age, that is contrary to what Paul wrote and preached. So, you can't get any letters, you can't get any messages, you can't get anything, unless it's an exact replication of Paul's message. Because that is the only word that stands. And anyone that comes on the scene would have to corroborate exactly what Paul said, or he'd be branded as a false prophet. Now, to get your picture, you'd have to look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, the true prophet, and you're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 13, the false prophet. And you notice the mind-boggling thing is here, how God traps the people. Because the false prophet is set forth first in chapter 13, and then in chapter 18, the true prophet, making people just think, well, hey, they just skip by chapter 18, and all you'll find is these people that are deceived by false prophets and false teachers around the world, they'll come right back and say, just a minute now, there's these false prophets in chapter 13, and they'll mix up chapter 13 with 18. 18 should have come ahead of chapter 13. Because you can't have a bogus unless you've got a real. If there isn't any real, then what you call counterfeit cannot be counterfeit. That is the real. And you notice that these two groups of men are prophets. And one comes vindicated with the true word of God, and the other comes behind with gifts of prophecy and signs and wonders to lead the people astray. Why? Because they paid no attention to vindication. You say, well, bless God, if I'd have been back during the days of Jesus or Moses, I would not have been unheedful. You're just the liar right there that would have been. You say, how can you say that, Brother Bill? Because Brother Branham said it. I just repeat the prophet. I'm on safe ground. So, all right. Let no man deceive you by any means. By a letter, by a message, by a sign, by a wonder. Don't give in to anything. This is it. Now, where did the Shelleys in this bunch come in? I hit them pretty hard, don't I? I want to know. Yet you're deceiving people all around the world. Being sucked in. And they'll go behind a true minister's back, the people that back him, to try to lead people astray. Take you right off the word. Take you away from light. See? They're Gnostics. With their so-called further revelation. With their insight. Well, you know, Brother Branham, he's a great man, but I got something too. Oh, you dyed-in-the-wool hypocrite. You haven't got an ounce of anything that I would want. Now watch. Let no man deceive you by any means. What is it? A false prophet. A false apostle. And above all, a false teacher. Look out for those guys that call themselves teachers. See, I'm not afraid. I'm afraid of the Word of God. If I go to hell, I'm not afraid of the Word of God. Because the Word of God stands true. I'm not true. My Word is not true. Unless it's the revealed Word of God, is God revealed it. As Brother Bannon continues, say, let every man's word be a lie, but let my word be the truth. And he's referring to God, and God's word was in him. Let no man deceive by any means. None of these things. Don't believe one thing. Except there come a falling away first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who exalts himself of all that is called God, that's worship, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself he is God. Now watch. See, he's warning you about something coming in here. And it's got to be according to what he set forth in Corinthians. Another gospel, another Jesus, and another spirit. Already we got a female spirit. We got a Jesus-only bunch. We got a perverted word. What more do you want? Now, if you can't see what I'm talking about, you better phone me for some private lessons. But you better come with your neck and your head well protected. Because I'll use a baseball bat on you to see if we can just put something in there. You cannot have sat here all these years and not know what I'm talking about. You cannot sit here and not know something in your soul grips you. Whether you're a part or not, you know it is the truth. And you don't dare move from your position now. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You cannot have a son of perdition unless you have a son of man. They're twins. So we're talking at the end time. So Paul said, don't let anyone come on the scene who leads you from the true revelation I gave you at the end time. I said, just a minute. How are we going to get it? How do you always get it except by a prophet? The Son of Man is prophet. You can't stand one without the other. God has two hands, left hand, right hand, blessing and cursing. You cannot have Son of Man without Son of Perdition. You can't have Son of Perdition without Son of Man. It's utterly impossible. They are both here at the same time. Jesus is here with the Judas. Absolutely. You can't move from the truth. If you think you move from it, be my guest. I'm not going to worry about you. I worry about myself. Now, who opposes and exalts himself of all that is called God or is worship. So that he is God, sits the temple of God, showing he is God. That started way back when the Roman Catholic Church began forgiving sins. And it will end in that man of sin being worshipped. Remember you not. When I was yet with you, I told you these things. What things? See? What's going on? And what will go on at this end of the Omega? And now know ye what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. See, what's holding back the actual flesh manifestation of both the Son of Perdition and the Son of God? manifested in human flesh. When we go up, the Spirit that's in our midst now, incarnate Himself, will be right in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, the glorified one. We'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God will not use another body. Don't worry. He hasn't got one body of Jesus, and He makes another body. No, because He's already set the pattern. And what do you see when we're gone? The man of sin, Satan himself incarnated, just as it was with Judas. So the two spirits are right here today. And they're working in one man, and then those who follow that one man, and they're working in many men. As we see, the Laodicean church is dominated by false prophets. And they're so phony, as $3 bills. I just don't understand how anybody can be fooled. I tell you, once you've seen an elephant, and really seen another, I don't think a rhinoceros or a sea lion or a hippo could come by and you'd say, well, that's got to be an elephant. I understand. They are so blinded. But thank God we're not. See? He already works. Then shall that wicked be revealed. See, now you're looking right at the fact of the man of sin in human flesh, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of mouth, with the brightness He's coming. In other words, His actual presence face to face, man to man, Satan to God. Satan never gives up. After the white throne, he tries to come back on God, and the people, his serpent seed, try to come back and destroy God's people. And you say, how can that be? Well, I got a God that's 10 times more stubborn. Not stubborn, just firm in His resolve. Our God will take on all challengers at any time. Even Him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, it doesn't say the power and the signs are lying. It says lying wonders. He's going to have a combination. See? And with all deceivableness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. They receive not the Holy Ghost who came in the word of this hour. Huh? Turned him down flat. We will not have this spirit to rule over us. We will not have this God. We've got our own Trinitarian God. We've got our own whitewashed hogwash. That they might be saved. See, now that's what Brother Branham said. There is no life outside of this message. No salvation. How are you going to get saved outside of it? You can't. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. They should bleed thee lie. Thou shalt not surely die. And everywhere they're saying millions now living will never die when they know positively as it was in the days of Noah. They pit Scripture against Scripture, and what suits them, they take. As a champion over what they have pitted against. You think for 1 million, the millions won't die? Billions will. They're right, billions will die. Well, they said millions won't die, but 1/100th of 1%, Brother Brandon said. Notice, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now notice, truth and grace go together, and unrighteousness is diametrically opposed and is the enemy of truth. So therefore, anyone who is off the word is unrighteous. That's why Abel was righteous and Cain was not. And that's why the act of worship of Abel was a righteous act, and Cain's was not. That's why we find perverted sex, which is a righteous act before God. He just blew the whole cover in the whole thing. Now it's out there, downgraded, degraded, filthy, rottenness. And you're not going to change it. And millions are going to die of AIDS and continue to die. Notice, but Paul said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God put you aside by the Holy Ghost to lead you to the word of life. He didn't put the others aside. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Now this is end time. This is the Omega of Acts 20. See? Of 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And every place where Paul calls out, even in the book of Galatians. And there is no epistle he's written without warning. See? It always goes back to vindication. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, glorification together with him. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the teaching which you have been taught, whether by word of our epistle, by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. What good hope? God never talked to these people. Paul delivered the word of grace and the good hope, which is earnest expectation, because God stands behind his word and will fulfill it. And Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. You've got to stand with the truth, brother and sister. And hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now notice, word comes before work. So work your fingers to the bone. Talk about we've got this active thing. I'll match any one of these loud mouths and produce a record. I wasn't called Second Branham in Canada for nothing wherever I went. I told you some of the instances. The other day I was just pondering how it was one day a woman came to me and, you know, I didn't understand anything, but I like Daddy Bosworth on tongues evidence. I knew every argument in the Bible and out of the Bible for tongues evidence. And one day he trapped me and I had to throw all the evidence out because it wasn't Bible. He shot me so full of holes on tongues evidence that, you know, if I'd have been a walrus with many holes, I'd have sunk and never come to the top again. I was gone. Anyway, I didn't know any better. This lady came and I laid hands on her and I said, well, I said, one thing, you've got high blood pressure and you say heart and this and that. She said, that's exactly right. And I prayed and it just seemed like it all went down. I prayed the second time. It seemed to all go down. I go by feelings, you see, as well as what I saw and what I knew. And it comes different ways. It's hard to explain. I can't do it except I knew it. And so I said, I'll reverse it. I tried that three times. It didn't work. And suddenly I said, now, Lord, what is the matter here? And the voice inside of me said, ask her if she'd been to a spiritist meeting. And I said, sister, do you ever go to spirit? No, yeah, I'm at a spiritist meeting. I said, I figured so. You got them on you. So I asked the Lord what spirits there were, and I discerned them and cast them on. She got healed. I remember another time we were praying. The same thing happened. Some people were praying for this person, and it was a young lad. And we were teaching classes, mind you. I could teach you how to do these things. Oh, brother. God have pity. He took pity on my ignorance when I saw Brother Branham. That did it. That did it right there. it wasn't. But after I saw him, of course, I was in this mess. But I knew that he was the master of. He was the one we should look to. He was the great one that God has sent here somehow. So anyway, this young man was in the meeting, and these friends of mine were very proficient at praying for the sick and discerning what was wrong. And when they said to the young man, you got so-and-so and so-and-so, he said, don't have it at all. So they called over another man who was also proficient. And he said, so-and-so and so-and-so. And he said, that's what they said, but it ain't so. So they called me over. And of course I said, so-and-so and so-and-so. I agreed with those two. He said, no, it isn't. I said, hold it. I want to ask you a question. Did you or anyone in your family attend spiritist meetings or spiritists? He said, my grandmother. I said, that's it. Immediately I discerned the spirit, cast it out, and I said, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. He was healed. Now bring on your Shelleys and the rest of them. And I'm not lying to you. God's my witness. You got my hand raised? Is the Bible open before me? I'm telling you the truth. It's wrong. I don't care if I do, I'm wrong. I could no more discern today than I could jump 80 feet in the air. Even with a catapult, I couldn't make it. So you got to understand these things, brother, sister. Paul says at the end time, don't you listen to anything but the word that he brought. Now, if you don't believe that's the truth, we go over here again to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and it says here, you that are troubled, rest with us, relax, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven, these mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and be admired in all that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day which is this day. What was his testimony? Vindication. See why I preach vindication? I'm taking all this morning again over all the things I've taught you, but you got a new slant on it this morning, aren't you? You know why? Because you can never get enough. Because of the rotten, filthy unbelief that's in the world. Our heart, as one man said, is like an onion. Layers and layers of unbelief. Peel off one layer of an onion, you've got another layer, and another layer, and another layer, till you come right down to the lousy, rotten little seed that's producing the layers. Now you got to get that stinking thing in there killed. That's what Brother Sanaba said about that soul that's got to die. That's got to be weeded out. How do you do it? Pouring on the living word of God that's an acid, that's a sword, that's a purifier. Absolutely, because it's a sanctifier, see? Now, and at this time, which is also 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord descend from heaven with a shout, which is putting the church in subjection. To what? To him. Well, how in the world do you know? I'm subject to God, bless God. How do you know you are? Because some little tinkling thing ran up and down your spine, or you had a little revelation one day, go and pray for somebody that God healed. Oh, God, I've had so many of those, don't even talk to me. I've even gone to the sea, to the beach, yes, the seashore, and found a wristwatch. I've gone to a town and gone down a street and spotted a house, and it was just that particular area. Tell me what you know. All of you put together haven't got a pinch of salt compared to what I've been through. I'm going to tell you something. I was wrong. Off the word. Until one day I saw vindication. And I went to that word. And nothing else matters, because if anything is going to come out of that word, let it come out of that word. Jesus, God came down himself to make the church subject to him. How? By word. And revealed word by vindication is that. That's exactly what we are looking at by the grace of Almighty God. So we go to 1 Corinthians. The 15th chapter. And in there we read from verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Notice he's a first fruit. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, in identical manner shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his presence. That's the end time. That's the Omega. Weren't they Christ when he was there in the presence of human flesh? What if he appears in human flesh again? Won't it be an end time bride? Huh? You know it's true. So what is he keeps on saying here now? Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. Now he's not talking about the one that's being exalted. He's talking about the exalter. At this point, the last enemy that should be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are under him, it is manifest that he is left out which did put all things under him. God never was under the feet of Jesus. And he never will be. It is God putting everything under his feet except God himself. Jesus always was subject to the Father. Man is head of the woman. And Christ is head of the man. And God is head of Christ. So don't try to change it. Don't try to change it. All things are of God. All that I see the Father do, I can do, he said, because he shows me. He had visions. He was a prophet. All that he tells me, I tell. And vindicated it was thus. See? And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that hath put all things under the Son, that God may be all in all. How beautiful. You see the picture. That's what he's done in coming down at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The 16th verse is a shout. The Kushma, putting the church subject to Jesus. Then eventually to God. All right. Now please be aware that all of this comes from Matthew 13, 24, and 30. Because this is what Brother Branham took us to. Another parable put he forth and saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. This is telling you what Paul told them. You're going to be asleep at the switch when these birds come in, these buzzards come silently sneaking in like wolves in the dusk, in the dark. And when they come in undercover, it'll be the cover of, they look just like Christians, they act like Christians. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Hey, the devil would be the sweetest man under high heaven if he can just get you into his camp. Mormons offer you all the wives you men can handle, and then some just go become a Mormon. Muslims, the same thing. Bunch of whoremongers and don't even know it. Denigrate the mighty works of God to a sex act? Come on, don't be a bunch of jackasses. No, I'm not asking pardon my language. Drop dead. I'm vitriolic and I've got good reason. Something wells up with me, you just go up there with a 4x4. Let me tell you something. Elijah is a man of like passions. I am too, and so are you. We don't go for that stuff. Yeah. You know, kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. Tell the full gossip in his man. And tell the rest it's not sex. They won't agree. God have pity on him. Well, men slept. Tares were sown amongst the wheat, and he went his way. When the blade was brought up, sprung up, brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant's household came, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field, whence hath it tares? And he said, an enemy has done this thing. He said, wilt thou then go and gather them up? He said, no. That's why he gather up the tares, he root up the wheat with them. Let them both go together till the harvest. And at the end of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them bundles to burn them. But gather wheat into my barn. In other words, he gives a sign that everybody can actually get a hold of. And that is when the ecumenical minded churches begin talking, coming together. And they've been doing it now for over 30 years or maybe 50 years. And people still haven't come to understand the tares are being bound and bundled in order for the wheat come into its own. They're being separated by an unholy word to an unholy devil. Now notice in verse 30, let them grow together till the harvest. They grow right together. They're two vines, the tares and the wheat, the left hand, the right hand, the true and the false, the son of man, the son of perdition. Everything is in twins, but it's the same thing. The same thing. And what has it got to do with it? It goes right back to the false prophet. And what is the false prophet about? He's brought a word that isn't the word of God. So therefore, the fruit in every age is the word of every age at that time. Just like fruit today is word. It's got to be because he's talking about prophets. vindication and non-vindicated, simply taking gifts, leading people astray, because the prophet stands there and said, listen, in John 14 and 12, it says one. In Revelation chapter 3, I guess it's verse 20, I stand at the door and knock at any man, one, open the door. And he said, everybody couldn't be a Moses. Everybody couldn't be a Paul. Everybody couldn't be a Jesus. And everybody can't be William Branham. But they missed the truth of that very pronouncement. So, well, bless God, we can do it. That's what Coridge and Byron said, and for their trouble, they got fire. And that's the sign of the last time, at the time of the crossing over. They could not take it. They would not believe it. Now, verse 30b, it says, in the time of the harvest, I'll say the reapers, gather together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. That's their destiny. They're being bound now. Anything outside of this word, except for foolish virgin, positively will go down and be burnt. They're serpent seed. We saw that the other day, how Brother Branham distinctly said, he said, science will vindicate my message. What did it do? It turned right around and found out there was one mother. Found out there were two fathers. And he turned around and said, God got your great-great-great-grandmother right down to get what he wanted in you. And they say, right now, we are a product of the genes. You wonder why you're funny? Goes way, 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 way back. You can't fight your genes. The thing is to link hands with God and let him help you. To bring out what he wants that's in you. You think David was the kind of guy he was without genes from way, way, way back? You think Saul wasn't? You think Solomon wasn't? When you realize whose father Solomon was, no wonder the guy went completely goofy with women and then got mixed up in idolatry. But don't worry about Solomon. He's God's child. You leave him alone. We should stop wondering why certain people are so-and-so. Just roll with the punches and pray for them if you think you need it. And accept them in truth. But offer this word's another story. Because you can be slippery as an eel and smart as the devil himself. I wouldn't give you no never mind or the time of day if you're off the word, according to as I believe the prophet taught it. I'm not vindicated, but I've got to have my faith the same as they've got theirs, and I'm not asking them to change. Forget it. Now, we go to Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and let's see what it says over here. So we can begin to see the truth as never before. And it says, John the Baptist crying repentance. Now he says in verse 9, and think not to say within yourself, I've got the Methodist church. I belong to Luther. I belong to Wesley. I'm this and I'm that. I'm Pentecostal. Speak with tongues. That's your father, see? For I said to you that God is able these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Don't you get any funny ideas in your head. But now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Unto the root of the tree. Notice it, one root and all trees. What are all the trees bringing up today? They all want money, 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 money. Social programs. I'm not saying they're bad. Hospitals. I'm not saying it's bad. But it's not the gospel. Passing out tracts is not the gospel. Doing this, that, the other thing is not the gospel. There's only one gospel. That's vindicated word. Because everything else is bad news and gospel is good news. How can you make bad news into good news? And God will not tolerate good news being made into bad news. Because he's a jealous God. Because gospel means good news. Not gossiping. Funny idea. Now, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Well, we're back to fruit again. What is that? The word. If you haven't got that good word and you don't bring it out, and I'm not talking about active faith, now I'm just talking about your conversation, which we'll deal with, and your thinking. It's hewn down and cast in the fire. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after is mighty than I'm not whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now watch, whose fan is in his hand, and thoroughly purge his floor, gather it into the garner, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, let's notice something here. it says in verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, which explains what makes the chaff and the dust and the dirt leave the wheat clear and chaffless for the garner. It is a fan. Now, what is the alpha fan for this omega fan? It is Acts 20. The real word of God delivered that they turned down. That's where the separation came. The false teachers, the false prophets, the purveyors of a false gospel, another spirit, another Jesus. Can't you see the picture so perfect? It stands right before us in letters 20 feet high. See? And 2 Corinthians 11. And 2 Thessalonians 2. And on it goes. It's always that which is against the word. A dead fan is a dead word. There's no light. It separates nothing. It leaves everything there in one lump. If you've got a fan that won't work, how many of you ever went or ever used? Well, I've done it. I don't think any of you ever did it, so I'll tell you about it. Years ago when I was a kid, we used to follow the threshing machines. Now, they had those concaves in there, which weren't as efficient as you got your modern combines. And when they had this great big stack of straw there, and they had their nice pools of golden wheat, separators would drop a lot of wheat on the ground, and some chaff, and a bunch of dust and dirt, and a lot of weed seeds. Well, you and I do, like every kid that's taught. I had a scoop shovel, and I'd wait for the wind to blow, and I'd put a great big canvas down or something, and I'd hold my scoop shovel up, and near the canvas edge, I'd let the wind blow, and the wheat would go plunk, 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 plunk down, plunk, plunk, the wheat would come down. It separated all the dust, all the dirt, all the chaff, all the weed seed. It went plumb over here. And if I didn't get it the first time, I thought I didn't get enough. We had a prevailing westerly wind out there in the prairies, see, in Canada. I'd take my old scoop shovel, and I'd do it up again, and this time more of the crud would come out. I know all about how a fan works. It promptly blows out the weed seeds into their own pile. And you do that with the chaff and the weeds before you take the wheat into the garner. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Because many times we take those big bags of wheat, weigh about 100 pounds, and we could take them in nice and clean. We'd mill them into flour or sell them. A lot of times, you just feed it to the livestock. Pay no. Into the garner. See, so that's what you're looking at. You see, one lump circumcision against the pile of wheat. So, all right, this message is dealing with wheat and tares, and now it is the end time. And this message, the seed of discrepancy, is actually the living word fan creating a manifestation of the word of the hour that separates the wheat from the chaff. And that's well put. Here is another time we see God descend from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, according to Brother Branham, Genesis 18, where God appears to Abraham, which according to Brother Branham is Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why he said, what God has ever done, he's doing now. That's why he said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Oh, that makes their blood run cold. This is again God manifested in flesh, according to Hebrews 1 and 1, where God was and is in the prophets. Well, there's no prophets, Brother Bill, as far as you know. Yeah, as far as you know. But who can receive it? Now, before we read on page 11 again, let us note that this is rich Laodicea. Revelation 3:14-21. And is the Omega of Alpha, Luke 16:1-13. So let's go to Luke. Chapter 16. Now see, we're taking you to James and the root of all evil and bringing this all together. He said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same steward was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. And he called the steward and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, I cannot dig. To beg I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lord's debtors to him and said, the first, how much owest thou my lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said, take thy bill, sit down, quickly write 50. Another, he said, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, all right. He said, you write 80. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive an everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. I see where I'm standing on the scripture here. If you don't listen and do this to my books, you are a gone person. He that is unjust in least is also unjust in much. If therefore thou hast not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches or the true mammon, the manna from God? And remember, the inheritance in the saints, the riches, is the revealed word of God. See? And if you've not been faithful to that which is another man's, who shall give you your own? You cannot serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Then tell me how many CEOs and men so-called of God are men of God. How many Christians are real Christians? Now, let's just go a little further. I don't want this to burn you, but it's worth listening to. We're going to go to Malachi, the 3rd chapter. And you know jolly well I'm not here preaching for money. I'm just telling you the truth. And I know how this works because I'm a part of it. I'm not lying to you. 7 to 15, even the days your fathers you've gone astray from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, when shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. But you say, when have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with the curse. We have robbed thee, even this whole nation. You see, they're not handling the unrighteous mammon right. Part of that belongs to God. People say, I pay my tithes. You don't pay your tithes. You put God's tithes where God wants them. They're his. Now, see, that's one of the bond principles that you can't shake. I know a lot of people try to shake it. And I know a lot of people use it to their good financially, but to their detriment spiritually, because they think, because God prospers them, like Seventh-day Adventists and the Mormons and different ones like that, they pay one tithe, two tithes, some three tithes, and they're prospered. I understand that never has there been one legitimate Mormon ever on relief. Always had plenty. Seventh-day Adventists, I believe the same thing. Then they kid themselves because they get that plenitude back. That's not it. It's like the Pentecostals using tongues and prophecy that comes to pass. And that's not it. You must be within the framework of the Word when you take the Word, and your spirit must be on true motivation. Otherwise, you are just kidding yourself and destroying yourself. When God opens the floodgates, you get scared to death. Am I doing right? I don't want to be. God knows I don't want to be part of Laodicea. I don't want to be a part of that. You've never heard me ever preach anything like that. Now, I could fool you. Like, if I wanted to, I could begin to fool some of you folks. And I'll tell you how I could do it. I could go out here and pay a guy $300 to come in this church and sit a while. And I would say, now listen, I've been praying for you, and I believe if you put in a dollar, God will give you back a mighty good sum of money. And I'd make sure that he got $1,000 without knowing where it came from. And he'd come back and tell you the folk. And I'd get another man. And pretty soon, if I had a congregation of 2,000 people, I'd be millionaire in no time at all with your money. Because you start giving like crazy. See, it's the same, you could do the same scam they did in Hollywood. A guy went out there and he said, listen, You invest with me, and I'll tell you, you'll get double your money in a short time. He had a fair chunk of money. So he got these guys out there investing, and they got their money back double, which he didn't know was their own money plus his back. The whole area went wild to invest with this guy. When he got all the dough, he walked out. Greed, brother, sister, greed. It's like a fire, it never gets enough. It gets in your bones and your soul, you never get enough. You become a CEO, you want $8 million to retire. Use people's money like water. Go to ye rich men, weep and howl. The judge is at the door, standing there watching you at the end time. Bold brother said, don't let anybody fool you. Look to the merciful God in heaven. Bring all the tithes, Lord, that may be meet in my house. And prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm up with it, heaven. Pour you out a blessing that you're not room to receive. Hey, just a minute now. God doesn't pour down gold and silver from heaven. When he comes down with his word. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Your vine shall not cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. These are spiritual things. All nations shall call you blessed. You'll be delightful, lightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you said, what have we spoken so much against? He said, it's vain to serve God. What profit is that we have kept his ordinances? We've walked mournfully before the Lord. See, they really haven't kept the word, and they haven't been consistent. They didn't want to go through the period of trials where their character is changed and they're burnt in the fires of tribulation till all the dross is gone. And when God looks at you, you can begin to see his own image, the image of Christ. And now we call the proud happy. Oh, brother, that isn't Laodicea. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. False worshipers through their own creeds and dogmas and a Trinitarian God. They that tempt God are even delivered. Millions of them. Gifts of healing, everything. Now listen. I see that's as far as we want to go, I think, on that one there. Verse 15. Yeah. As far as you want to go. Now, let's go back and compare Luke 16 and 12. And what does it say? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give unto you that which is your own? Now, with that, another man's, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews. And in there, I guess it's chapter 7, verses 4 to 8. And I trust I'm not rending scripture here, and I don't believe I am. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he, what receives them, of whom is witness he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Now Brother Branham brought that out. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, just a minute now. We said in verse 8, here the men die, receive tithes, there he, of whom it said he liveth, he receives the tithe. Okay, let's go then to 1 Timothy. And I'm not trying to stretch scripture, I'm trying to show you a point here that I rest with Brother Branham, that if you're a Christian, you will certainly pay tithes and recognize to whom you're giving them and what it's all about. It's part of the ministry of William Branham and his message. And 2 and 5 says there is one God, and one meter between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, if you've got another man's, if you're keeping the tithe back, you'd have to be keeping that which is God's. And you bring it when? You bring it to the altar, sacrifice, where you have a high priest mediating and working in the ministry. Now, we go back again to Malachi, the third chapter. And again, I want you to know, I'm not trying to stretch a point here. I want to illustrate and show you why I believe the book of Malachi is written the way it is. And how we have to obey the word of God to receive blessing. Now this is, you know, I don't say, now let's pass the plate all over again, see if you guys can divvy up. I never say those things. You never heard me in all the years you've known me, and you never will. Because I'm not interested. I teach this, and I abide by it. And I see certain things in here that I don't believe would be here, and the prophet said them, unless they're really pertinent to this message. And remember, the question was, should a Christian pay tithes? He said, if you're a Christian, you will pay tithes. Now watch. You can read all the way again from the days of your father right on down through to verse 15. And then you'll notice in here, we go on to 16 and 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Who feared the Lord? Those that listened to the rebuke. Those that wanted to be right with God. You see? And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Now watch. They are talking to each other. They have taken the admonition over here. Behold, I send my messenger. Who can abide the day of his appearing? There's got to be fire there somewhere. So John the Baptist came and fulfilled Malachi 3 as number 3. William Branham came on the scene as number 4, fulfilling Malachi 4 and the rest of Malachi 3. And now you're in here of people who have aggrandized wealth and not known there is a proper way to go before God in worship and receive blessing from God that is not only physical, but is mandatory, because you handle the physical right, and he will give you the blessings from God in understanding, which is the true word. Now, I stand on it. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I'll have to just go before God, or he'll have to show me something different. Because I'm very truthful here, that Jesus himself said, you tithe in men and anise and cumin, these things you ought to do, and not leave the weightier matters undone. Are you going to tell me that you know algebra before you know your ABCs? No. You've got to look at these mundane things, put them in their place, do what God says, and despise what people do with it. And hang on to God so that you don't get caught up. See, that's the thing right there. See, years ago, I was disgusted with everything because I had to pray the food on the table, and we did, and I didn't think that was the way God should treat anybody. So I got disgusted for the way the Christians treated me. They wouldn't help me out, and so I helped myself out. Now today I've got a watch, we're in rich Laodicea. You've got to be careful, because this is the hour of abundance. This is the hour of trial and temptation concerning these things. Whether you let them get down in here, it'll create all manner of problems. Like Peter said, they that be rich should heap themselves sorrows and troubles and trials. So you got to be careful. Now see what I'm looking at here. He said, they should be mine, said the Lord of hosts, today I make up my jewels. And now spare the man, spare his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness, between him that serves God and him that serveth not. Now it says, from the days of your fathers you've gone astray. And he tells you where they went astray. And the omega of this is, the Laodicean church has gone astray concerning money. And the abundance thereof in this hour has fooled them that they are of God. But there is a way of the scripture to trust God where he will pour a blessing upon you. As I've tried to show you time after time, Jesus himself said, what measure you meet will be meted unto you. You shall give a dollar and get a thousand. That you could, but that's not it. The most you could get back in my books would be a $10 bill, 10 ones. Now maybe you could get more, I don't know. You get 50s, you get 50s. Now I'm not saying this to make you greedy. I'm just telling you there's something in here where he says you've left me, and over here you return. And in the return, you now can discern right from wrong and righteousness from wickedness, and those who serve God and those who don't. And unless you go this route, you'll be sucked up in those buzzards. Now you tell me I'm wrong. You come up here and explain it if I'm wrong. Read it over. Now returning to God is not a financial thing only. That's just a little tiny part. The return to God is by the word. And they left the word on tithing, a material thing anybody can do. Then if you leave the word on that, don't tell me you have the true interpretation of the mysteries of God. You couldn't have it if you tried. Because the little things we must do for the weightier things to come in. So we can't get involved with money. We simply do what God says. It's more blessed to give than receive. All the time. He said so. I didn't say it. He said it. Why? Because when you give, you sow. And unless you sow, you don't get a harvest. And so there's a law written down in here, and I don't like to talk too much about it because I get sick within my spirit and my soul, my heart, even talking about it because I just don't like it. I feel by now everybody should absolutely have in his mind and heart how to serve God in the material and how you serve Him from within your soul. And the whole thing is in your soul. You receive this word in your mind. It goes down by your spirit into your soul. And you say amen to it, Lord. And as it comes out, if there's something to be done, the Lord will help you. And you'll be doing it. And so we do this just like sort of an automatic thing. Now, we can read then, paragraph 66 pretty soon on page 12. And hear what Brother Branham says about the fan in the hand of the reaper from Alpha to Omega. And here in the Alpha we see the Nicene Council in Constantine all over again. That was the Alpha. Now in the Omega we see the same thing over again, where the church goes for money and politics, but the bride goes for the word. Now, this is something I like much better than I talk about that filthy lucre, because I think when I talk about it, I emphasize it in the wrong way, and I'm scared to death I'm emphasizing it in the wrong way, and I don't want anybody to think for 1 minute, hey, you do this and you got it made. You could, listen, you could give $1 million if you had a million, you'd go to hell with bells on. It's not the point. The point is the word with the proper motivation and understanding. And when you have it, there's a simplicity and a humility with it, if you catch what I'm saying. And it's a beautiful understanding of how you know that you've... Well, that's part of your active faith. And a revealed faith will not do wrong with money. I'm running scared in this late hour. I don't know about you people, but I'm running scared in it. Now, we're going to read Ephesians 5. 21 starting. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The bride goes for the word. Now, see, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. In other words, there'd be no bodies, there'd be no church, there'd be no completion, except Christ is there giving the increase through the church, through that word and all. And that's the way it is with husband and wife. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, everybody says, the men say, amen, hallelujah, and they like to step on the women and sort of hold them down. Now, let's talk about the women. The men. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, just a minute, there wasn't a church here for to give himself for it. So this has to be, in my understanding, Christ at present dealing with the bride. So let's read a little further. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Doesn't say blood now. Now listen, that he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. That's going on now. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord loves the church. Now, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And now he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, that every one of you in particular so love his wife, even himself, and the wife sees she reverence her husband. Now, we're looking at something here. The bride goes for the word. Now, I want you to notice that the Bible says here that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That means if he gave himself for it in his death to bring her out by the blood so the Holy Spirit could come upon her, bringing her back to him, that is merely a wedding, a union. Now, the thing is, he that gave himself for her, does he now stand back and cease to give himself to her? And the answer is no. He who gave himself is presently giving himself, and he has one motive in life, and that is to live for the bride. Now, he's not pleading his cause before the Father. He is not mediating before the Father for himself, and he's not mediating for the Father just to please the Father, as though someone stands here that's pleasing to God. He mediates to bring the bride in. He lives for her, and he gave himself for her as well as to her. Now he's interceding, not for himself. And he's not interceding for the world. He's not a high priest for anybody but that beautiful little bride that's going to come in under the blood. And he then is all for her. And he isn't for anybody else. He really lives for her. Now, when people come to me, young people especially, for counseling, I say, look, don't make the mistake I made and most men make. When they get married and they have a nice wife, perhaps some children by now at home, there's a propensity for the men to go to men. And too often these men, and I've been very guilty in my life of marriage, I would sooner be with my wife than those guys. But somehow I played the stupid, complete idiot by being with those bird brains. You say, Brother Vail, maybe they're a fine brethren. They're bird brains just like me. They should be with their wives and maybe accept a little time off. When you marry, you are supposed to live for your wife. Because that's what Jesus does. You think he married and ditched her? Think he had a bunch of children by her and ran off without supplying the needs? You think he divorced her? He lived up to his vows. He lives for his wife. And so men ought to live for their wives. Now, there's a great danger there. When he lived and lives for his wife, the bride, we've got a church out here with gifts and everything else. And who gave her those gifts? Where did they come from? They didn't come from the devil. They came from the Holy Spirit. Now, this woman gets rich and increased in goods. And what does she do? She starts to mess around. She starts to take authority over her husband. If she got a bad temper, she indulges in her temper. If she wants to spend money and use a credit card she shouldn't, she'll keep on doing it. The church is a prostitute to God, except the bride. You know, I can trust my wife with any number of credit cards. But if I gave her several hundred dollars and she lost it or spent it or gave it away, I'm bothered at all. We just have that much less to spend next time if we have any. But I found this in living for my wife, which she is much worse condition than I am. I find a satisfaction I never knew. But she lives for me. She doesn't aggrandize herself. She doesn't pull any deals because she loves and respects me. And I cannot see a bride for whom Jesus loves that doesn't love and respect him. But I can see a church out there that's a prostitute. And she's got every gift from the giver. And she takes every gift and she stands up against the man she calls her husband. And the 2 Thessalonians, the word says a divorce sets in. And Matthew said, I used to know you as my wife when they come rapping at the door, but I don't know you as my wife any longer. There's a divorce. Now, how many men have the real marriage that they should have? I know we love to blame our wives as a weaker vessel because we all like to lay it on somebody. We all know that men driving a car, and I'm guilty, and I didn't know that all men are just almost all alike. Never stop and ask direction. We go round and round and round in a circle, down the wrong lanes, up the wrong roads. We won't knock on the door. I've had to do it, though, because I got scared because my time was running out at a doctor's appointment. So I did finally knock on the door and said, hey, how do you get to such and such a road? And they told me. But you see, men, men must understand there is so much in this last hour. And you'll come to it, don't worry. You'll have to come to it. You will. And the women will have to come to it also. Because God's going to have a bride. And he's a wonderful husband. He's a wonderful husband. And he wants a bride that's wonderful like he is. Brother Branham said, I concur heartily that the man has ever so much to do with the woman's character. If Christ has nothing to do with our character, then we have nothing to do with our wives. And the woman responded. So I set this up as a type of the church. And I see a church out there that disregards the man she calls her husband. Oh, she wants every gift he can pile on her, and he'll pile the gifts on. But one day she'll hear the words, I used to know you as my wife. I don't any longer. What would a woman feel like that? So secure in her husband's love. What would you like to have you women here this morning? Ask you a question. You got a loving husband. They like to surprise you with gifts, take you out to dinner, try to help the children, try to make a good salary and a good home. What if one day the man came home and said, you know, it's over. I know a man that did that years and years ago. I loved the man. His name was Arnie Perry. He's a very dear friend of mine. He pleaded his wife for years, look, please listen to me. It was over her mother. Her mother could have married a wealthy businessman. She was a widow. But the girl was evidently, and I don't blame her being a mama's girl, and mama evidently meant more than the husband could take. So one day he came home, said it's over. She began squalling and crying, I'll change my ways. Why bother changing your ways? What's the change? It's over with me. Listen, one day God is going to do that to the church. It's over. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in utter darkness. It's over. It's gone. That's what we're living today. I want to see myself and I want to see you in the love bonds of Christ with his bride and we have with ours. It's never too late to start until it's too late. And there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and utter darkness, which Brother Branham said was the great tribulation. I want to miss it. So you see, we're looking at here, and I've done nothing but try to bring you scripture, and I played a little hard on the money angle, but you got to forgive me for that, and I trust the Lord will too. Just to show you that there are certain things that anybody can do with the right spirit that God wants them to do. But it's a little tougher road when it comes to husband-wife relationships, because all women are not, like Brother Branham said, those, remember he was at the place where they're auctioning off the heifers, you know, they're going to be future mothers. And Brother Branham looked at that one, he said, that's the one I want. He said, Billy, you just keep out of this. Maybe you're a preacher, but he said, you sure don't know stock. He said, that thing's got a wild eye and a wild look in her eyes. She'll never be a good mammy. He said, see that one over there? He said, see those docile eyes? How calm? Now, that's going to be a good mammy. And Brother Branham said, that wild-looking female, she got nowhere on the auction block, but they bid the other little thing to high heaven. What do your eyes reflect? Huh? Yeah, listen carefully, because it'll soon be all over. We'll be out of here shortly, not just for dinner, but we'll be out of here. Going away time. And we want to be sure we're part of it. So, all right, we didn't get to read, but I promise you, if I come back, I'll attempt to read. But I'm not going to say I will, because I don't know how I'm led when I make up my notes. Because I work wholly by inspiration what comes to me during the week. From what I know. Let's rise and be dismissed. My kind Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we claim to be our head, as head over the bride. We do not plead ignorance, because we cannot do that. But we plead our selfishness, Lord, and ask you to forgive us. And wherein corrections can be made, Lord, which are for your honor and glory, and yet for our good, because it's building up that entire body to Christ, and we're all contributing, and we're all responsible for the revelation and the inworking of character within our lives, and giving ourselves over. Knowing when we do, there's always a possibility of taking advantage. But you told us this is the way. Love covers a multitude of sins. And now abide faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And we know that to be when you, the Holy Spirit, is love. So help us, Father, to start within our own lives and little family circle. And be as we ought to be, because we know the man is a stronger vessel. He could beat a woman up any time and get his way. Walk out and do a lot of things, and women are just as bad today. Actually, they're worse, because statistics show that more women walk out than men nowadays, showing the church has walked out. Lord, let this little church be a community of believers who love you and go by your word, love each other, starting in their family circle. Do right by material things, and never let the cares of this world and materiality ever blot out the vision and reality of the word, whether there's seemingly too little or too much of that product called the mammon of unrighteousness. But dealing in the word of righteousness, Lord, from the headship of Christ. Father, may your people catch a vision of the complete supply that you want them to have in the Spirit, and how to handle ourselves, Lord, as vessels of honor unto Almighty God, purveyors of the word, leaving the epistles read and known of all men, piling word upon words until the life within the word propels us, not just leads us, as it were, but actually propels us, because this is our life. Becoming those living images that Brother Branham spoke of. Lord, I'm repeating his words. It just seems so foreign to me. The life I've lived and what we all are contending with this hour. Help us to see through your eyes that if we just continue with this, the rest will come in due course, born into us, as Brother Branham said, and come up to that fullness. Grant, Lord, that we do not sell your word short, and Jesus living for us, not for himself, not even for you, which is true, living for us at your word. May we see that and go on in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, walking in the light as he is the light, having fellowship one with another in the blood, cleansing us and growing up. And moving on. Correct us, Lord. We know it's not in anger. You correct us for our own good. And help us to see that correction and abide therein. As the prophet said, no matter what it costs us, because there's a greater cost down the road. To so live, as he said, we meet our loved ones in the resurrection, and we love Brother Branham far beyond what we love any other person. Outside of our own intimate relationships. And then a certain love for him would transcend any familial or conjugal love that anyone might have. You know that, Lord, and we all know it. So help us. Heal the sick amongst us. Lift up the arms, we pray, Lord, that hang down. And we know we've got a part to do in that, too. So, Lord, if there are theirs that are weary and worn, those that are troubled, may we have the grace and the love in our hearts to help them. Not step on them, shove them aside, but to help them. That they may grow up. And as calves in the stall in this last hour, as the Son of Righteousness is rising, with healing in his wings, immortality. So we leave this with you this hour, Lord, and thank you. We've had the privilege of coming together. And may this message, Lord, have not one harmful word in it, one word off key anywhere. But deliver, Lord, in a spirit that's hopefully trying to get people to see the truth, not bang them on the heads to where they're going to be, but hopefully to see the truth and the pattern that's laid out here. And we ourselves in obedience to it, not asking people to do one thing and we do another. That's so prevalent just in human life, Lord. We know that. So as we depart, we pray you'll go with us, bolstering up every word that we have received vindicated from the prophet. It's in your word here, and we know it to be true, your God-given word. And that word living in us, even in the very mundane things which we've talked about, getting our ABCs in line to get the algebra in order, the deeper things of God, knowing these things must be done, ought to be done, the deeper things reveal the mysteries and the truths of God. And unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, that's you, Jehovah Elohim, unto you be honor and glory through the blessed Son, who gave you honor and glory, and will one day, through the efforts jointly, present us to himself and you, as it were, a perfect bride. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Take the